Good morning. I don't really know where to start this morning. I was tremendously blessed with the song service. But this past week has been a very difficult week for me. And I felt like the enemy wanted me to. There's a lot of temptation. There was a lot of fear. Just with life circumstances, watching a brother-in-law, an employee, fall with a ladder from 14 feet. If you have not repented and you don't know Jesus, your life could be changed very quickly. And it was just a very sobering week. There was other things at work. I know Friday was a long day at work. It seemed like everything that could go wrong at work did go wrong. Just a lot of, I just felt that this, like a spiritual battle was raging all week long. And yesterday, I was studying to preach, and there's a burden on my heart, and I didn't know how to put it into words. And I was reading a lot of different scriptures, and I just couldn't come up with, in my mind, I'm always thinking as, when I'm preaching, I need to expound on on the scriptures, and there's so much there for us to look at. But it was just verse after verse after verse that I was reading, and when I went for a walk, I told the Lord, I said, I need you to show me something. I need you to give me thoughts and words to explain these scriptures. And I just felt like the Lord was just saying that, let my word speak. Don't try to put any extra words in there. I just prayed that God would help me to say the things that I should and to refrain from saying the things I should not. So let's start with prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, I tremble at your word, sharing your word. I want to be a faithful servant. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint my lips, Lord, to speak only what you would have them speak. Pray that your word would speak for itself and that you would minister to each one here this morning. Lord, give us hearts to receive what you want us to receive. I pray, Father, that you would mold us and shape us ever more into your image, Lord, and in the things that we hear. Help us, God, to apply them to our lives, our daily lives, and to live by your word continually. Thank you, God, for this morning together. Pray that you'd bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of my message this morning is A Life of Repentance. Or, in other words, abhor evil, cleave to righteousness. I'd like to start in, we're going to be going through a lot of scriptures. If you can't keep up with, okay, I have, there's a lot of verses that I'll be reading, and I guess I could say that a lot of these verses are going to repeat themselves. I was telling my wife that it's going to be like a squeaky wheel. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. But I believe that God wants us to, we hear about, I was just looking earlier at the verse in Acts, where Peter said, repent and be baptized, in order for there to be a baptism, there needs to be repentance. Someone gets born again. They have a change of life. But it doesn't stop there. The Christian life is a continued life of abhorring evil, cleaving to that which is good. It's a continued life of repentance. And so, yeah, let's start with Psalm 1. Starting in verse 1. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So here in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. We live in a world of a lot of influence. There's a lot of ungodliness around us. If we spend time on a lot of social media platforms, I'm not saying that all of them are bad. There's, you know, a lot of these things, there is good to be found in these things. I remember my mom when we were growing up, and there may be those here that maybe you listen to the radio regularly. I'm just repeating what my mom told us when we were younger. She told us that, why would you scroll through the radio and look for a station to find something that's good, when you know you could find a good source, you know that there's something good for you to listen to. She said, why would you go through a garbage can and look for a morsel of good meat? And there's a lot of those things, influences in our lives. Today it's changed more to YouTube Shorts. Maybe it's Reels. It's all of these different things. There's good things that can be found there. And yet, I wonder how often do I stand in the way of sinners and sit in the seat of the scornful? We just kind of, you know, we scroll along through life and we don't really hate sin. And I was talking to a brother last Sunday at Redeemed, and he was just sharing with me that he feels like, as churches, a lot of us, we're very tolerant to sin. We don't take sin very seriously. It's a lighthearted thing. It's little things that we feel like, well, how can this be so bad? But here in Psalm, it says, blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So you have a man here that with purpose of heart, he walks. He does not walk with the sinners. He does not stand with the scornful, nor he does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. It's a purposeful, he does it with purpose of heart. It's not just float. He does not just float. So I'm going to read a lot of different verses. I might comment here and there, but it's just something that's been really challenging me. I'm not sharing this in any way where I feel like I've attained to this. It's really been I've been very convicted in my own life. Joshua, in Joshua 22, verse 5, he says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." So this verse here it's full of action. It's not just you get born again, you repent of your sin, you get baptized, and there you go. You're good to go for the rest of your life. You just kind of float through life. This verse is full of action. It says, "Take diligent heed to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." It's a verse that's full of action. It's not just, "All right, I got it made, I'm on my way to heaven, and here I go." It's purposeful walk, and it's not a life of amoral, doesn't really matter, this doesn't really matter, I can do this if so-and-so is bothered by this, it's fine, I feel at liberty to do this. But it's a life of purpose. The next verse we're looking at is Psalm 34, verse 14. "Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." Again, a verse that's full of action. You purposely depart from evil and you turn the other way, and it's the definition of repentance. The definition of repentance is to turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendments of one's life. So you're walking one way, and when you repent, it's not just you stop walking this way and you stop. It's you turn around and you pursue the other way. And that's what it says here. Depart from evil, you turn away from there, and you do good. You pursue, you seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 37, verse 27. "Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore." It says pretty much the same thing. Psalm 97, verse 10. "Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked." There again, if you love the Lord, hate evil. Despise things that are evil. Despise things. Hate is a strong word. We try to teach our children not to just, let's say the weather's not favorable or something goes on and it's not, "Oh, I hate this," or "Oh, I hate that." But the Bible very clearly says, and we'll see it further on in more of these verses, is if you love the Lord, hate evil. Hate is a strong word. You take action to walk away from evil. Psalm 101, verse 3. "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Here's David. He says he will set no wicked thing before his eyes. What do we look at? What do we watch? Is there things that we watch? Maybe it's, you could fill in the blanks. It could be YouTube fails. It could be sports. We watch these things, and there's foul language there. There's immodesty there. And there's these things that we watch, and we're just kind of like, "Well, I'll just choose to spit out the bone and choose to look at what's good." But David's testimony was, or David's words here were, "I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me." Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The more we allow ourselves to soak in God's word, and we learn his precepts and his ways, the more we understand the holiness of God and we learn his ways, because of that, therefore I hate every false way. A number of verses down to verse 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. So here he uses the word hate and abhor. Abhor is also a very strong word. It means to regard with extreme repugnance, to feel hatred or loathing for. It's a serious, I want nothing to do with this. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. And now, if we go into Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. There's another action. It's a choice to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Proverbs 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. This one I thought was very interesting. The scripture teaches to fear God, but the definition of the fear of the Lord, according to this verse, the definition is to hate evil. Do you hate evil? Is it something that you despise? Do you have a fear of God? Is it something that you have in your life? Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate? Here's a little definition of what that evil is that Proverbs is talking about. Pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth. It's a definition of the fear of the Lord. If we don't have a hate for evil and we don't purposely walk away from unrighteousness, I believe that we have a lack of the fear of God. According to the scripture, that's where we're at. Proverbs 16, verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Proverbs 16, verse 17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. So if you come to know the Lord and you repent, accept Christ, and nothing changes in your life and you're still walking down the same path you were before, I think we might be missing something, because it says the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. So you have this picture of the broad way and the narrow way. I've seen a lot of different ways where people try to describe this, and you have this little narrow path with a few people on it. You choose to walk that path, you're walking away from evil. You're departing from evil. Isaiah 1, verse 16 and 17. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. So, as I was saying, over and over we hear about this purging, washing, departing. It's an action thing. You're walking away. And I don't want to leave out the other side where you turn away from these things, but the flip side is there's a response of action where you learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. It's not just turning away from sin, but it's something that you turn away. You turn around. A true life of repentance is one where you turn away from something and you pursue something different. Learn to do well. Isaiah 33. Isaiah 33, starting in verse 13. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rock, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king of his in his beauty, they shall behold the land that is very far off. So whose waters shall be sure, and who is going to see the king? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly. He that despises the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. That's who's going to see the king. We shut our ears from hearing, stop our ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. How are we doing with that? Do we shut our eyes, and do we purposely choose to be in places where we don't need to see evil? We don't need to hear evil? Or are we just, you know, are we just floating through life thinking, oh, well, you know what, it won't really affect me, it won't really change me? Now we go into the New Testament, John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 15, here's Jesus praying for his disciples, and he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. This is Jesus' prayer for the disciples. It's his prayer for us, that God would keep us from evil, and that he would sanctify us through his word. Are you allowing God's word to sanctify you? Do you spend time pursuing good? Do you spend time actively pursuing and following hard after God's word? Do you spend time with the Lord and allow his truth to sanctify you? Or again, do you feel like you just repent and there you are? You've made it, you get to sit and enjoy the ride, or do you put effort in? Acts 11, verse 23. Start in verse... verse 23, who when he came had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. This is what happens. Someone repents, turns from this way, and here is, I think this is speaking of Peter coming to Antioch. And he is exhorting these new believers, you've turned away from your sin, now cleave unto the Lord. And the word cleave, the definition of the word cleave is to adhere firmly and closely or loyally and unwaveringly. So his encouragement was for them to, you've turned away from your sin and now cleave to the Lord. It was an action. It was something that they had to endeavor to do. Romans 13, verse 13 and 14. Start in verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So here you have, we cast off the works of darkness and we put on the armor of light. It's an action thing. You purposely put off darkness and you put on light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Put on, you, something gets taken off, darkness is taken off, put on the armor of light. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and don't make provision for the flesh. Romans 14. Romans 14 verse 17. Start in verse 15. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So here we have, it's the positive, follow after. You purposely follow after Christ. Follow after the things that make for peace. 2 Corinthians 6. Starting in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? In what communion hath light with darkness? In what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? In what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So the Lord is saying here, come away from evil. Don't touch the unclean thing. Get away from it. And I will. And he promises all these, I will be your, will dwell with you. I will be within your hearts. Verse 1 of chapter 7 says, having therefore these promises of God being a father to us, and the Lord receiving us, the Lord dwelling within us, having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So, you know, I feel like often when I think of repentance, I'm thinking of, you know, those that have not received Christ, those that do not know Jesus, they need to repent and turn their lives to Christ. But if we look at who this is written to, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, a brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. This is written to saints. This is written to those that already have a relationship with Jesus. And yet, Paul is taking the time to remind these Christians, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Well, I'm saved already. What do I need to be cleansed from?
how are you affected by your surroundings? What do the influences in your life, the things you participate in, the things you watch, the things you do in life, what kind of influence do they have in your life? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This should be the heart of every Christian. This should be the heart of everyone that believes in Jesus. If you claim to have repented from ungodliness, this should be our testimony. It should excite us to think, God shows me something in my life that needs to be cleansed out of my life. It should be exciting to us to cleanse ourselves from the filthiness of the flesh and spirit, because we want to be perfected in holiness in the fear of God. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 to the end. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that we cannot do the things that we would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So you put away the works of the flesh. You give your life to Christ. You're a born-again believer. But does your life on a daily basis, does your life bear fruit? Do you have love? Do you have peace? Do you have joy? Are you long-suffering to those around you? Is your life full of gentleness, goodness, faith? Do you have a meek attitude? Someone approaches you, talks to you, maybe has a concern in your life. Do you have a meek response? Do you have temperance in life? Questions that we need to ask ourselves. If we have turned away from sin, what have we turned to? Have we turned to something different? Or have we just stopped there and that's it? They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's a daily walk of love, joy, peace. I would have to admit that this past week, I would say that joy and peace was something that was very hard for me to bear fruit in. It was just, it was a lot of, just a lot of reasons, things around me that, if you could call them reasons, to take away that fruit. But I felt like God was with me through the week, and I wasn't perfect in all of those things, but nevertheless, I felt God's presence. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's turn to This is a short verse here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Is this something that we do on a daily basis? At work? Or anything we do in life, are we abstaining from all appearance of evil? By the sound of this verse, some things, sometimes we face life choices that may not be, they seem all right, but they have an appearance, and there's something within our hearts that tells us, I don't know about this. Are we abstaining from those things? We should just, I'll read a couple verses before that. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 9 and 10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Riches. Do I desire to be rich? Is this something that drives me in life? It's also an evil thing. It's also something to be. It's not that money is evil, but what he's talking about, to like right here, it says, they that will be rich fall into temptation. It's, we get caught up in this life of, I gotta get the next thing, I gotta get this. It's also something that we should abstain from. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So, Paul's encouragement to Timothy is to lay hold. It says here to lay hold on eternal life, to fight the good fight of faith. It's an action thing. The Christian life is one of action. We move. We live by faith, but we put effort. We move. It causes us to live in a certain way, to live righteously. If you go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 22 and 23. Like I missed some verses here. Like, start verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. When we think about fleeing youthful lusts, I'd like to look at a little bit at Joseph. In Genesis 39, verse 7 through 12, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her, to lie by her or to be with her. So Joseph has just been sold into Egypt. He's lonely. He has no family around him. He's a young man, a passionate young man. And Potiphar's wife tries to so subtly befriend him. And Joseph could have so easily here said, "Well, My dad's not here. Nobody, I don't have any family around here. There's nobody else here that fears God. Nobody will ever know if I commit fornication. Nobody will ever see." But it says here in verse 10 that he hearkened not unto her. He closed his ears to her. He did not hear. He purposely chose not to hear, nor to lie by her, nor to be with her. Joseph would not even be with her. He chose to walk to my... I picture if she walked in the house, Joseph left the house. It's like, "I'm out of here." He would not be in temptation's way. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Joseph fled from evil. He left his coat with her, and away he went. Little did he know that the consequences of him fleeing evil would be that he would be thrown in a dungeon for years and years. But he didn't care. Nobody was watching. But one of the key things in Joseph's life over and over was that in verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph." Joseph always knew, "The Lord is with me. God is with me. God sees me. He knows what I'm doing. And I need to be faithful." And so Joseph fled from evil. Are you that faithful when you are faced with temptation? Do you flee it? Or do you meddle with temptation? Do you flee evil? Do you turn from evil, and do you flee the other way? Or do you meddle with temptation? Do you play with temptation in your life? James 4, verse 17. "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." I've often thought about this verse. Sometimes when we don't do something that's good, that's sin. If God clearly puts it upon our hearts, "Do this." And we're like, "No, I'm not doing it." "Him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." 1 Peter 2, verse 11. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." Are you a stranger and a pilgrim in this world, or do you fit in with all the fads and all the everything that happens around us? Do you abstain from fleshly lusts? "Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Have an honest conversation. People can speak evil of you, but it does nothing. Because, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. 1 Peter 3, verse 10 and 11. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. So the word eschew means to avoid habitually, especially on moral or practical grounds, to shun. He that will love life and see good days, let him eschew evil and rather do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. 1 John 2, verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. 3 John 1, verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. What kind of testimony do you have? What would your friends say about your life? What do people around you see in your life? And are you allowing people to speak into your life about those things? Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. If you are risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And then the last scripture I want to look at is Revelations 3, verse 14 to the end of the chapter. It's a very sobering message that the angel gave to the church of Laodicea. And I wonder sometimes, is there areas in my life where is our church, are we at this place? Do we know it if we are at this place? Are we willing to repent if we find areas in our life where we are here? And the Lord says in verse 14, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So all the verses that I've read, nowhere do we find a slot for the lukewarm. It's you turn from one and you follow after the other. It's nothing in between. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So the Laodicean church did not even see their condition. Jesus is saying that they should anoint their eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Are we living a life of repentance? Do we abhor evil? Walk away from it? Do we cleave to good, to righteousness? Or are we floating through life and have areas in our life where we think, this doesn't really matter? I'd like to just, on the board, put a couple contrasts. The difference between how repentance, what it does to our life, so if this side is evil, and I will just put down E, etc., fill in the blanks, whether it's evil communication out of your mouth, whether it's you can fill in the works of the flesh. All these scriptures we've been reading, it says these are all words that are found in those verses. Depart. Depart from. This side here is godliness, righteousness. You fill in the blanks, the work, the fruit of the Spirit. The contrast to departing from evil is, and these are all words that are found in these verses that we went over, the contrast is follow after. You leave somewhere, you depart somewhere, where do you go? You go the other way. You follow after something different. The next one is hate. You hate evil, and in contrast, you love righteousness. Abhor. We abhor evil. And the contrast is, we delight in righteousness. We need to be purged from evil. And our righteousness needs to be perfected. Perfect righteousness. We put away evil. We keep righteousness. Cease to do evil. We do righteousness. And some of these, I don't know, they may not be perfect in contrast, but I think everybody will understand the other one is make not provision. The Bible says we should make not provision for the flesh. We make not provision And I thought this was a fair contrast, is we should meditate on God's righteousness. We ought to flee evil. And when we flee something, we're pursuing. When we're afraid, if I'm afraid of an angry dog and I'm fleeing it, I am pursuing safety. So we flee from unrighteousness and we pursue God. We pursue righteousness. We avoid evil at all costs. When we're avoiding something, I was thinking of, we've gone hiking before down a nice trail, especially during tick season. There's a lot of ticks in the deep weeds. We avoid the tall grass, but we walk in the narrow pathway where we can avoid ticks. So we walk in righteousness. We abstain from evil. And we seek after righteousness. And then there's one, we refrain from evil, and we ensue, which is, it's pretty much the same as pursue, but with passionately pursue. And then eschew, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. We eschew evil, and we shun evil, and we cleave or cling to righteousness. So this is the life of, as a Christian, this ought to be our testimony. We go from this to so if we live a life of repentance, this should be the outworking of our life. We leave whatever's on that side, and we follow after righteousness. So my prayer is that you can all be challenged, blessed, and encouraged to live a daily life of repentance, where we actively pursue godliness and run and flee from evil and temptation. Lord bless you.